Yeah, these are amendments for Frank's affidavit. Okay, page 7 of 19, section F, the Hrvatin transfer, well, F5, that statement, clause 5, can be completely removed. Should be actually completely removed. And then section 7, after you take out part 5, after that is 7. It says, additionally, defendant Bart Segan, well, it says he concealed the agreement from the Ceylon family for approximately 18 months after Rafi Ceylon's death. Then it says it should say he furnished the Ceylons with only both a signed and an unsigned copy. At first, he only gave my family an unsigned copy of the will, and then we had to beg him for a signed copy, and we finally got one. And Bart said, if you guys want a signed copy of the will, you'll need to get it. We don't have it. You'll need to get it from Ivana. Ivana has signed copies of the will. And that's where we ended up getting a signed copy of the will from Ivana. After we told him, you gave us an unsigned copy of the will during the reading of the will. And it was like, for weeks, they denied us. And then finally, we got it from Ivana. So number 7, it needs to be edited there where it says furnishing only a unsigned copy. It's referring to a separation agreement. No, they never gave us an unsigned copy of the separation agreement. They were just completely hiding it from us. And then it took them 18 months later. They finally admitted to that there was one. And then they gave a copy to David Sundin. And then David Sundin provided a copy of the executed separation agreement to my family, along with the three other drafts of it. So there was 4 drafts of the separation agreement, including the signed executed copy, which was provided to my family from Sundin, who got it from finally after 18 months from Bart and Ivana. Okay, next comes number 8, and it talks about Bart taking the computer. It wasn't for 48 hours. Bart took Rafi's computer from inside his home. It was around 3 weeks after his passing. It was the very day Julie Trifiris was voluntarily moving out after she was they made it so uncomfortable for her to continue staying there even while she's mourning. She just packed, and during that few weeks, it was in August, first week or second week of August, when Julie was moving out. And Bart showed up, made her surrender her keys to him, and that's when the computer went missing. And it was, again, it was around 3 weeks after Rafi's passing that occurred. Okay, now page 9 of 19. Number 1, it speaks about the forgery of a signature of Crystal. You mentioned that you say that my personal knowledge on information conveyed directly to me by Lucy Ceylon should also read by Lucy Ceylon and by Crystal, because you've spoken to Crystal about the whole incident too. And she revealed to you that they forged my signature. And she gave you her breakdown of what took place. So you already got her, testimony yourself, too. Okay, section G of page 9 of 19. Section G, the Empire Life Policy. Number 3, you mentioned that Lucy Ceylon was unaware of the Empire Policy. Well, I was aware of it. I just didn't understand much. I completely went through one ear and out the other, and I completely forgot about it because we were so focused about Sun Life policy. Okay, page 11 of 19. We're at the beginning about Drew Dilkins. Number one, it says that defendant Drew Dilkins has been mayor of Windsor continuously since 27 October 2014 and is in statutory chair of Windsor Police Service Board. Maybe you should also add there that prior to as he got selected, who knows if he was really elected, as we have you know, documents that make it appear that he actually wasn't elected, but on the contrary, selected as mayor. But regardless, as he was took the role of being mayor, he was a lawyer with McTague Law Firm, colleague lawyer to David Sundin. My mother, Lucy Ceylon, Betty Ceylon's attorney. Litigation attorney, I should say. So, yeah, so number one in regarding Drew Dilkins should also mention about him being a lawyer with McTague Law Firm as he was just becoming a mayor in 2014. Okay, further down at the bottom of page 11 of 19, section K, number three, when it speaks about Honorable Justice John Paul Howard, it claims him as the founder of Shibley Wrighton. That's kind of inconsistent, incorrect. He's actually, him and his wife Sheila McKinnon were key role players in establishing the opening of Shibley Wrighton Law Firm located at its Windsor location. And he was, I don't know exactly what year, but Paul Howard was the managing partner of Shibley Wrighton for many years as well, when they established establishing Shibley Wrighton in the Windsor location. And then once he got appointed in 2015, became a judge. Later on, his wife Sheila McKinnon took over as managing partner of Shibley Wrighton in Windsor location. So yeah, so for number three there regarding Paul Howard, it should be corrected about that he is the founder of Shibley Wrighton. Of course, we all know Paul Howard is not the actual founder of Shibley Wrighton. Shibley Wrighton was opened up in Toronto originally in, I don't know what year, but anyhow. Okay, then down at section five on, again, page 12 of 19, where it's defendant Mary Jo Nolan. It says that mediation was terminated within 5-10 minutes. No, mediation wasn't terminated. It is just that me and my husband, who orchestrated the entire civil case on behalf of my mother, we were within 5-10 minutes, me and my husband, kicked out of mediation, who were there to, in support of my mother, because we collaborated with the whole civil case with David Sundin and McTague Law Firm pertaining to her suit. And then she kicks us out, the very person who didn't even disclose to us of her tight connection to Shibley Wrighton, kicks me and my husband out and leaves my mother alone, being intimidated by Mary Jo Nolan. And my mother says that David Sundin, on her behalf as her lawyer, didn't even barely speak any words on her behalf. My mother was completely intimidated and couldn't wait for the whole session to be over, and they, got my mother signing a settlement agreement. So no, mediation was never terminated. It went on fully, and a settlement was made signed between my mother and Ivana that day. Okay, and then next, page 12 of 19. Next is number six. It says the 4-point Shibley Wrighton nexus is the structural center of the concealment. Again, it says the firm's founder, sat as the presiding judge. No, Paul Howard was not. He's not the founder of Shibley Wrighton. He's a key role player, along with his wife, of opening up Shibley Wrighton at its Windsor location. And also, they're both partner lawyers of the firm. And also, let's never forget, there was no discoveries, examining discoveries to take place on behalf of my mother during her process, civil suit against Ivana. That in itself shows that there was a cover-up going on, where evidence and people could be sworn under oath, no transcripts. Like, how is this fair? Where does it show the transparency and the facts and the evidence? Okay, then comes page 13 of 19. It talks about section M, recorded and documentary admissions, the Hardin record. It says, what section? Section 3 can be removed about Sundin and Segan. Take that out. I don't know what it talks about Lucy Salen about D.P. Pietro's statement. Segan or Sundin, I've never communicated anything with them about in correlation to DiPietro. Number 3 should be completely taken out. Okay. Section N on page 14 of 19. Number 3 talks about Law Society. When me and my husband had our meeting with the commissioner, it says first name Margaret. No, her, the commissioner's commissioner of Law Society, who we had a conference call with, commission review. Her name was Marilyn Marshall. So that could be added in section 3. Her name, Marilyn Marshall, commissioner of Law Society at the time of our review, me and my husband Joel's review with them.